Hello and welcome to episode 12 of Two Guys, Three Consoles. My name is Matt Leach, also known as the Leach Man. With me, as always, is my co-host, Jeremy J. Monster Fowler. How are you doing, Jeremy?
Hello. How are you doing? I'm all right.
Yeah, doing all good. All good. Here we are again, episode 12. Sorry, no episode last week.
Yes, I was in Wales. It's my fault.
Yes, Jeremy was away and I didn't really have enough time to do a podcast on my own. So apologies, but we're recording this one. So hopefully you'll be listening to it.
Yes, we are back.
Yes, we're back. Episode 12. Yeah, we'll just kick straight off into the news, I think. Do you want to go with your bit of news first?
Yeah, so Switch 2 pre-orders have gone live basically everywhere worldwide, apart from the US and Canada.
Yeah, this is because the Nintendo put a delay on because the tariffs, didn't they?
Yes. So, well, that's the bit that makes... So it makes a bit more sense that the US ones are delayed because of Trump's tariffs. There's rumours that the price is going to end up being bumped up to like $650 in the US.
Wow.
Because of the tariffs. It is. But the one thing I don't understand, so I think Canada's pre-orders were supposed to go live yesterday, and then they've ended up being delayed as well.
Oh, did they give a reason?
No.
That's interesting.
I wouldn't have thought that the US's tariffs that Trump is bringing in would affect Canada.
Mm.
But Canada was supposed to be able to go live and take pre-orders from all their stores yesterday, and that's just not happened. So I don't really know what the crack is, you know, what's happened exactly, why Canada can't pre-order it yet.
Because today was the day when Nintendo actually releasing their pre-orders on their own website, wasn't it?
Yes, for UK. I've got my friend Phil, he got the invite from Nintendo to pre-order from them directly today. But the thing is, if you do it directly from Nintendo, they've got this anti-scalper thing in place where you have to have at least 50 hours of game time from the Switch 1 on your NSO account, and you also have to be the bill payer. So if you've got a family account, you have to be the one that pays for it each year. Or something like that. I think it's something like the bill payer gets priority on the website compared to people that aren't the bill payer.
Yeah, but, I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're doing something like that. Anything outside the Nintendo website is out of their control. But that's probably a good thing. Yeah, having at least 50 hours being the bill payer for NSO.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, well, I hope it helps with the availability of the actual hardware because there's already been stuff gone up online where people are already reselling their pre-orders for ridiculous amounts of money.
But that was the worst kind of people.
Yeah, the worst kind of people. Exactly. Exactly. Mm. Yeah, interesting about Canada. We'll have to keep our eye on that one.
Yeah. I've got a couple of Canadian friends. I'll have to ask them whether they've managed to get a pre-order in at some point or what the update is, if any of them know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, my bit of news is also Switch 2 related or Switch related. The sequel to Hades 2, is going to be a timed exclusive to Switch 1 and Switch 2.
Right.
Which is interesting. I think it's on early access on PC through Steam at the moment.
Right.
You can play a version of it. I don't think it's had the full release yet.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, if it's coming to Switch 1 and 2, there must be a full version of the game.
Yeah.
You can't re-release early access games on a console, can you? It doesn't really work that way.
No.
So, are they given a date? Let's have a look.
I think, was the first game a timed exclusive on Switch at one point?
It was, yeah. And then it came to PC. No, I think it came to Xbox Series and PlayStation. No, it came to PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Because it was already in early access on PC, like the second game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I mean, Brad's talked about it on his podcast quite a lot. Mm. And I put like 20 hours into the first Hades and I just couldn't get through it. So I gave up on it.
Yeah.
I may go back to it.
I did dabble, but I'm not great with roguelites. So I think I put maybe 4 or 5 hours in. Never completed the run. Gave up on it.
I didn't get through. I got quite far, but I didn't get to the end of the game. So maybe I'll try this one. It being on Switch 2, if I can take it anywhere with me, then maybe I'll go. But yeah, timed exclusive. It doesn't actually give a release date. It just says to be announced. So But it will be a timed exclusive. So
right. Nice.
That's something to keep our eye on, that one, I think. So yeah, I think we'll go into what have you been playing.
Yeah,
I'll go because I've done a lot other than Assassin's Creed Shadows. I put quite a lot more time into it since the last time we recorded.
Right, nice.
I'm at 41 or 42 hours now.
Okay.
Still haven't completed it.
Right.
Probably about three quarters of the way through the main story.
Hmm.
It is a good game. It is. I mean, I am enjoying it. As I said last time when I spoke about it, but it is quite, you know, for once, it's going to be smaller than Valhalla, which it is. Hmm. It's still, there's still quite a lot to do, a lot of what I would call busy work.
Right.
Which, you know, you've got to you go after your main enemies, but then there's all these different things that appear because it's an open world game.
Yeah.
The thing I do like about it is the seasons, like the seasons change.
Right.
So it goes from spring to summer to autumn to winter, and they keep changing, which is like every 90 minutes of gameplay, I think.
All right, okay.
Changes the seasons, which is not something I'd seen. You've got seasonal changes in games before.
Hmm.
I can't remember if it was like a regular seasonal change or whether it's just part of the story in most games. Yeah. It's not really part of the story in this. But there are often certain events that happen in certain seasons, so that's something that's a little bit different. But it's a bit of a grind to level up, which, you know, open world game it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping to get it done sometime in the next week or two because I want to start working towards Platinum,
right?
Which I haven't actively been doing at all. I've just been playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I do prefer playing as Naoe, which is the shinobi slash assassin
character.
I did come across a certain boss fight which really frustrated me so much. It's made me throw my controller in anger, which
really?
For a long time, yes.
Wow.
It's not happened for a long, long time. I didn't even do that with any of the Souls games, really. I think I did that in Bloodborne once. It does happen every so often. I mean, I didn't throw it across the room or anything. I just threw it, on the sofa next to me.
Oh, that's not quite the same. So
no, well...
I've lived on to see another day.
Exactly. The stupid thing was, and it was a stupid fight, is basically there's this enemy, and I'm playing as Naoe, and he's a one-on-one fight. I thought, yeah, this is going to be straightforward. He spawns in Shinobi.
Right.
One or two. And I thought, I can handle this. Six. Mm. Six Shinobis plus him.
Wow.
Right? In a 12-foot by 12-foot space.
Jeez.
And I got absolutely massacred like five or six times in a row.
Yeah.
I went back to it, played as Yasuke,
mm-hmm.
beat him first time.
Right.
So I think depending, it's funny because a patch came out for it yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and as part of the patch notes, it was gameplay balancing against certain bosses.
Right.
So I'm just wondering if I went and fought that boss again, whether they might have changed it.
Right.
Because I Googled it out and loads of people were complaining about it.
Right.
So it wasn't just me. Okay. But, you know, the answer is that one plays Yasuke because especially he's like a tank.
Right.
I took hardly any damage, killed him within a couple of minutes.
Nice.
But there you go. You know, they do want you to do certain missions as Yasuke and certain missions as Naoe. They give you... Normally they give you the choice, but there's certain missions where you have to play as certain characters, which I kind of thought that would be the case.
Yeah.
There's
something I've learned this week that I think Naoe is fictional. They've made her up for the game, but Yasuke is based on a real historical person.
That's right, yeah. He's based on a real historical person.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no. Well, he makes a... I don't know if you remember Neo, I think it's Neo, where he appears in that game as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they can't remember the name of the character. They don't call him Yasuke. They call him something else.
Right.
And because Oda Nobunaga is in that game as well.
Right.
And then you fight him a couple of times in that game. And yeah, so he's based on a real historical character, which is why a lot of people got really upset about it, which I don't understand why. But yeah.
All right. Because he's a real person.
No, because he was black.
But the real person was black as well.
I know. This is why it's so stupid. Like, you know,
racism. If he was a fictional black character that they made up, would they still have been as upset?
I don't know. The internet can be a sordid, seedy, horrible place sometimes.
Yes. You're not wrong.
Yeah. But no, you're right. Naoe is completely made up character, but he is based on an actual historical person, which is pretty cool. But yeah, playing as him's all right, but he's not an assassin. You know, he's a big samurai guy and he's got a massive sword that you can swing about and kill people. So I don't mind playing as him, but it's not Assassin's Creed.
No,
you can compare it to Assassin's Creed Odyssey, where Cassandra wasn't really an assassin either.
Right.
She was like the beginning of the hidden ones, as they called it.
Okay.
That's what Bayek in Origins refers to himself as, a hidden one.
Right.
So it's before the Assassin Order was established.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of like Cassandra, I suppose, but you know, Cassandra was part of the original Assassin's lineage, whereas Yasuke is not an assassin at all. He's just a big samurai guy. So playing him is all right. You know, but he can't do the assassin things. Like, if you take him to viewpoints and jump up a viewpoint, he doesn't do the swan dive like an assassin does. He just lands on his ass. He gets up all gruff, like, oh, I can't do this kind of thing.
Right.
So, you know, and if you try and go across the rooftops, like ropes and stuff, he just breaks them because he's so heavy. Whereas Naoe, because she's so small and easy to run around, you know what I mean? So there are differences in the gameplay, but I'll definitely complete it. I probably will platinum it. So that's all I've been playing since the last time. But you've been playing a couple of things, haven't you?
I have. So Blattro.
Oh, yes.
Finished the run.
Hurrah.
Finally.
How did you feel when you did that?
Very relieved.
Yes.
but yeah, I need to give shout outs to Kyle Disco Beaver, Mike Dine from our Discord, Phil and Gavin, who've all been giving me tips to try and help me out and get me a bit better at the game. And I think all of that sort of tutoring from all of them finally got me over the line. I spent last weekend in Cheltenham with Kyle after being in Wales, you know, week before that. And apart from when we were eating burgers at Beefy Boys, we basically were playing Balatro.
Nice.
So, yeah, I mean, Mike said it'll be the first of many. I have to admit, I've not completed another run again since the one that I've done. So I don't think I'm quite there just yet, but at least I've got that monkey off my back and done one.
Yeah.
I'm not giving up on the game just yet.
No.
So I've been enjoying that. And then Xenoblade Chronicles X, I'm up to chapter 9.
Right. How far is that into the game?
It's a good point, actually. Probably two-thirds or halfway, maybe.
A fair chunk of it, then.
Yeah. So I've got my Skell, which is what they call a mech.
Yeah.
But I can't fly yet. So you can transform it into a vehicle and then drive around the map, which is damn sight quicker than having to run everywhere.
Yes.
And I've managed to get three others for the other people on my team. So everyone's got a scale when we do drive around. Don't have to like make one person run while the rest of us are driving or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I've been enjoying that. But I've still got a lot more still to do. And I think the ability to fly is not very far off. It's possibly after this chapter.
Right.
And as soon as you get there, that really opens up the map. You know, it might be a massive map, but as soon as you can fly around it, you can basically get to anywhere you want to be. So.
Mm. I wonder how it will perform on Switch 2 when you get it. If it will be more stable or if it will load faster or whatever.
Well, yeah, there's that 60 FPS mode that they found in the code that isn't accessible on Switch 1.
Right, yeah.
So I presume that's going to be linked into it. But I've kept an eye on these, what they call Switch 2 editions, which is Switch 1 games that have been improved in some way for Switch 2. And I don't think anybody's been mentioned yet.
No. Maybe they're keeping it up there. Keeping it quiet for now. Yeah.
Quite possibly.
Cool. So that's what we've been playing. So I think we're going to go into Retro Corner, aren't we?
Yeah. Do you want me to go first or are you going to go first?
I'll go first with this one. So this was a game that I'd seen on Xbox and I liked the look of. Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell. So Tom Clancy, for the younger audience, was a author and writer of books of his own series that he made like a universe, like a shared universe of books For example, The Hunt for Red October is one of his books, which turned into a film, Patriot Games, that kind of thing. So Splinter Cell is basically a special ops faction of like the CIA, I think it is.
Right.
I'm doing this from memory. Mm-hmm. I haven't researched this at all, so do bear with me. But you play as a guy called Sam Fisher, and
right, yeah.
Your mission, I can't remember the mission. I think the mission of the first game is you're looking for a terrorist, as you know, Black Ops often do. And yeah. The good thing about it, or the revolutionary thing about it, was if you were in the shadows, enemies couldn't see you. And you had like a light meter that it would see how much light was you were exposed to. So if it was very little, they couldn't see you. And if it was a lot, obviously they could see you. And yeah. You had night vision goggles that you could put on. And it made this like a specific noise when you put the night goggles on, which was like copied for like the following games, because it was a series of games. But I actually ended up playing it on GameCube, not on Xbox.
I was about to say that, because Swan, you said you played it on GameCube.
I did, yeah, but I saw it on Xbox. I think I saw it in Game or Electronics Boutique or whatever, going back a few years, aren't we? And the reason I played it on the GameCube was I had a GameCube at the time. That was my gaming console. And I also had a Game Boy Advance. And right, you could link it up via a link cable, and you could use a Game Boy Advance as like a little mini map, which was pretty cool. Which you couldn't do on any other version, which is good.
Right.
That's specific to the GameCube version. Mm. I really enjoyed that game. It was a good, compelling gameplay. You know, I like sneaking around and taking. It's almost like Assassin type, but obviously being Black Ops, you've got a pistol with a silencer, or you could I think there's certain missions where you had to knock people out and not kill them, because he wasn't a killer per se, but only when he actually had to. You know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah, it was a good game, and they evolved over time, and I really enjoyed that series. And the last one that came out on console was Splinter Cell Blacklist.
Yeah,
that was over 10 years ago. So it's been a long time since Ubisoft brought out a Splinter Cell game.
Yeah.
There's been rumours that they're working on one. It did appear in Fortnite a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
They made a character skin based on him. So there has been rumours that they might bring him back, but I don't know, Ubisoft are not doing great at the moment. So Assassin's Creed Shadows is out, and it has been selling, but I don't know what else. There's been no talk about a new Splinter Cell game for a couple of years now, so
we'll
wait and see what happens. But yeah, I mean, to consider Xbox retro, and I suppose it is really, isn't it?
Well, first one is definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Blacklist was Xbox 360, or was it Xbox One?
What was it? I think it was PS3, Xbox 360 era. Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that was last one. So, no, they didn't release a Splinter Cell game on PS4 or Xbox One. So, yeah, it's been a while. But that was a good game, actually, Splinter Cell Blacklist. I enjoyed that. And it wasn't Michael Ironside actually did the voice for Sam Fisher up until that game. They got a different voice actor for it.
Right.
Because I think Michael Ironside was getting a little bit too old to play him. So, So, yeah, Splinter Cell, that was a good game. What have you got?
So I've got ISS Deluxe, which is International Superstar Soccer.
Ooh,
uses full title. And so Deluxe is technically the second one. The very first ISS came out on Super Nintendo in 1994. The Deluxe Edition, which was the second game, came out on Super Nintendo in 1995. And then Mega Drive in 1996. And then PlayStation 1 on 1997.
Nice.
And the ISS series is what eventually became Pro Evolution Soccer, and so was the main competitor to FIFA for many years. And I think there was like a split at one point. There was two different development teams. There was one that did the Nintendo ones, so the N64 games. There was ISS 64, ISS 98, and then I think ISS 2000 was the third one. There's three versions on the N64.
Sounds right, yeah.
And then the PlayStation 1 version became ISS Pro Evolution, which then eventually dropped the ISS moniker from the front and just became Pro Evolution Soccer, and it just sort of carried on from there.
Wasn't this Japanese developed as well?
Yeah, this is Konami developed and published.
Thought so, because it's like the rival to the FIFA title.
Yeah, FIFA is EA, and it was the rival to that. Mm. And I remember really enjoying it back on the SNES. It had commentary that wasn't amazing, but was decent for the time. And the main thing of back in those days, in the 16-bit days, FIFA was really jerky, mm-hmm. whereas ISS played really smoothly.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, a big change from FIFA. I mean, this kind of a mute argument, because they're arguably all worse than Sensible Soccer.
Yeah.
Which Sensible remains...
Soccer was like its own little thing, really.
Yeah, it remains the best football game of all time, and I'll die on that hill.
Even I played that one.
Yeah. Even if you don't like football, you can enjoy Sensible Soccer.
Exactly.
But one of the things that made ISS Deluxe stand out was, I mean, I think they had in the first ISS as well, but they had these scenario modes, which would be, you start like halfway through a famous game, you know, like say an England match where they were losing, like in the World Cup 96 final, that kind of thing. And then you have to turn the game around and like sort of rewrite history or make what actually happened in history happen.
Yeah.
So you often wouldn't get the whole game to do it. You would come in at like some point, you know, in the second half with 20 minutes to go, and have to turn the game around in that sort of short period of time. And it just added a sort of extra level of excitement to football games, rather than just starting from the beginning, playing out any odd game, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think the SNES version, I think Deluxe was multi-tap compatible, so you could play four-play, do two-on-two.
Nice.
I can't remember if we ever actually did.
No.
I remember playing it two-player, one-on-one with mates. But and there's a whole bunch of tricks, which, of course, is sort of fairly standard in FIFA these days. But again, in the 16-bit era, when there was about a million football games, having the ability to do like your own little tricks with your skillful players on the pitch stood out at the time.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I mean, I do remember the... seeing the football games. They always used to put them on in game when they used to demo stuff.
Yeah.
Like in shops, they put on like one of the football games, be it FIFA or Pro Evolution or ISS even. I remember seeing it running on a version of a football game, not sure which one it was, on the Saturn.
Right.
When the Saturn was a thing. But just after Dreamcast?
Just before Dreamcast.
I can't remember if it was just before or just after. Just before. Yeah. Before Dreamcast. And it didn't, well, obviously it didn't last very long. But yeah, I remember them running, what was it? The Dragon game. I can't remember what it's.
Panzer Dragoon.
That's the one. Panzer Dragoon and Tomb Raider and a football game. And right. I'm not sure which one it was. But yeah. Yeah, so I do remember they were a good way to show off, like, the system, weren't they, football games, for sure.
Yeah. I think one of the things with the Saturn is, and again, I'd never really had one. I had mates who had them, but I didn't have one myself. I think for some reason, Sega of Japan put a lot more into 2D capabilities than they did into 3D, because they didn't 100% believe that 3D games would take off.
No.
So games like Tomb Raider, from what I understand, ran a lot better on the PS1 than it did on the Saturn.
Yes.
The Saturn's hardware just wasn't really built for it.
No, the Saturn was too late to the party. It just wasn't as powerful, quote-unquote, as PlayStation 1. That's why they kind of brought out the Dreamcast fairly quick. And fortunately, as good as the Dreamcast was, it just didn't take off either. So, you know, just one of them. They didn't. That's when they pulled the plug on hardware, wasn't it? And then
Didn't Saturn have a lot more games in Japan than we got over here?
Absolutely. There's loads of titles for the Saturn in Japan. We've got hardly any over here. It just wasn't a popular system. I think it was too expensive, wasn't as powerful as a PlayStation, you know, and the Tomb Raider was a big seller on PlayStation 1.
Right.
They just, you know, they were too late to the party and it just didn't take off in this country, at least.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, and well, no platinum watch this week.
No, sorry, Gavin.
Neither of us are actually working towards a platinum because.
I technically am. Once
you technically are, I suppose you are.
Working, I haven't made any progress because I didn't take the PS5 to Wales with me. So
yeah, and you've been concentrating on Xenoblade Chronicles X. Yes. So
yes, no, that and Balatro are both portable because they're both on Switch.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so we're going to jump right into talking about the Switch 2.
Yep.
So I think you should run down with the your list of specs that you've got for it.
Right. Okay. Well, I don't know much how many the technical specs, but I've got like a list of sort of features. So basically, they had the Nintendo Direct, which was an hour long, and I was on the train at the time.
Yeah.
So I managed to watch like the first 15 minutes before my signal gave out.
Oh, God.
And then I had to watch some more of it later.
Yeah.
But so the features I've got noted down on my list are I've got a 1080p screen.
Yep.
So it's full HD as opposed to 720 like the machine we've got currently is. It's got HDR support.
Yep.
Runs at 120 hertz, so 120 frames per second is possible.
Have you got to have a compatible TV though, I'm guessing?
You will. Well, right. So it runs 120 hertz in both portable and docked.
Right.
So if you're playing it portable, no, you don't have to have a compatible TV. But right. If you do want that benefit on your TV, then yes.
Yeah.
Runs at 4K when docked via DLSS, which is the AI upscaling that I was trying to think of the name last week.
Yeah.
It's got 256 gig internal storage, which is 8 times the amount of the Switch 1.
Yep.
Is 10 times as powerful as the Switch 1 and roughly comparable to the PS4 Pro. It exclusively uses micro SD express cards. For memory expansion, if you wanted more than the 256 gig.
Yep.
The game cartridges for it are a maximum of 64 gig. Some games coming in a code in the box style that require a download straight away from the eShop.
Right. But
the kicker for this is the code is not tied to your account. So you can then lend or sell the game on. And then the next person could then use it to download the game themselves.
Okay.
But you have to have the cartridge in your machine inserted for it to actually play.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I could use it, download the game off the eShop, give you the cartridge. You can then do the same.
Yeah.
But you, whichever of us had the cartridge at the time is the only one that could play it.
Yeah. It's a bit like when I got Assassin's Creed Black Flag on PS3.
Mm-hmm.
I could play it on the PS4 version. I think it was for free.
Right.
And, but I had to have the PS3 disc in my PS4 to play the PS4 version. So I guess it's similar, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense.
Well
done, Nintendo, for catching up to everybody
else. Well, yes, about 7 minutes near the beginning of the Direct were about this new fantasy game chat. That they're lauding like it's some crazy new thing.
New thing, yeah. It's like, welcome to 2005.
Yes. Well, you've been able to do it on the, like you say, the Xbox 360 for like, 20 years? But
20 years, yeah.
Nintendo like treating it like it's some fancy new thing. I do think it was cool that they've got a camera, haven't they? Or got a couple of different cameras. There's one that looks like the piranha plant.
Yeah.
And one that's like a standalone. I think they're about 50 quid. But if you want your friends to be able to see you while you're game chatting, then that's what you need. I'm not sure I'm really that bothered about my friends being able to see me.
To be honest, I don't think it's a neat little feature, but not something unless I had a specific reason to use it, which I don't really, then I'm not going to be using it. But yeah, I mean, the Direct was, I managed to actually watch the whole thing without any interruptions, which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I am quite excited for Mario Kart World.
Yes.
I've been looking forward to a new Mario Kart game for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And they've really upped their game in this one. No pun intended. So apparently courses will be interconnected.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to drive from one course to another.
Yeah, it's fully open world and you drive from the one race to then wherever the next race will be.
Yeah, it's clever. And there's the different kind of modes that they've got. They've got like a knockout mode where you just basically keep racing till you get knocked out. You've got to place at a certain level there's going to be 24 players in the game, which is pretty amazing. Yeah, it should be a good time, I think, Mario Kart World.
Yeah,
well, we pre-ordered the Switch 2 with the Mario Kart game.
Yes,
I got that ordered. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah.
We won't mention where we bought it from, but it's a fairly standard British...
It's a well-known retail outlet.
Yes.
Yeah.
That used to have catalogues.
Yes.
That's what we're
saying. Begins with an A. I'm sure people can work it out from there.
So one of the things I really liked about Mario Kart World, it's got some modes where if you're playing with your friends, you can literally just drive around and explore. Mm. And so Kyle and I were talking about, we hope then that there's like some collectibles or something to find maybe in the world
that
give you the reason to drive around and explore.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, that'd be cool. I'm sure they'll come up with something. I mean, I'm guessing this this game's been in development for quite a while.
Mm.
Because Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is fairly old now.
Well, yeah, also, and that's a port of a Wii U game. That's
exactly, even older. So it's quite an old game, you know, so it's been never a long time to work on this.
Yeah.
The other one I'm looking forward to is the new Donkey Kong game.
Yeah, is that Banana Bonanza? Is that what it's called?
Just,
or
called, just Donkey Kong Bonanza. Donkey Kong Bonanza.
Right.
With a banana in it, with a ZA on the end, rather than actual how Bonanza is spelled. But, yeah, apparently destructible environments.
Yeah, saw that.
Which is, looks pretty cool. It's been advertised as like the Mario Odyssey for Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
So that'll be an interesting game to play.
And it's being developed by Nintendo EAD.
Yeah.
The team that did Mario Odyssey.
Yes. So
it's not retro because, of course, they're too busy working on Metroid Prime 4.
Well, that's the other one I'm looking forward to. I mean, I was going to go with the Metroid Prime 4 Switch 1 version, but if I'm getting a Switch 2, might as well get the Switch 2 version, eh?
Well, yeah, that's one of the games that they've mentioned does have the upgrade. But if you buy the Switch 2 edition of it, apparently you literally just get the Switch 1 cartridge with the code for the upgrade that you put in to upgrade it via the code on your Switch 2.
Yeah, fair enough.
You'll still use the Switch 1 cartridge to play it.
Yeah.
But it'll be upgraded because you have the code.
I'm guessing it was primarily developed for Switch 1.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got the Switch 2 hardware in front of them, they made the bells and whistles for the Switch 2 version.
Yeah.
You know, be 4K support, probably HDR, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, it's already been confirmed. What's the thing? So the quality mode runs at 4K, 60 frames a second, and the performance mode runs, it drops down to 1080p, but it runs 120 frames a second.
Wow. It's still 4K 60 is pretty good.
Yeah.
That's probably what I'll play it in, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough.
So, yeah, definitely looking to Metroid Prime 4.
Mm-hmm.
What's the subtitle for it? Metroid Prime 4?
Beyond.
Beyond, yeah. And looks like Samus has got psychic abilities in this one.
Yeah, you can do some crazy telekinesis type stuff.
Yeah, so that's going to be an interesting one to play.
Mm-hmm.
What about the game price? Apparently, games for the Nintendo Switch 2 might be $80.
Yeah, so it's like £75, I think.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, isn't it?
So we've both saved money by getting the Mario Kart World Pack, because if you try and buy Mario Kart separately, it's £75. If you buy it with the Switch 2, you save yourself like £35.
Yeah, but it'd be interesting to see what they charge for actual standalone releases, like Donkey Kong, for example. Is that going to be $80 or £80?
Apparently, Donkey Kong is supposed to be a £65 game.
Interesting. This is the thing we're kind of edging towards. I mean, we've been regularly on the PS5 and Xbox standalone games have been £70 for quite a while.
Yeah.
Is AC the next threshold? Probably.
Doesn't seem there's a standard price for Switch 2 games. It seems that some are like Mario Kart are $75 or $80 in America, and then some are cheaper. But there doesn't seem to be a rhyme or reason as to why whichever game costs whatever it costs.
Yeah. I mean, whatever they cost in this country, they're going to cost more in America, aren't they?
So, well, probably, yeah.
You know, I've got to feel sorry for our American cousins in regards to that. You know, it could potentially, games could cost them $100 potentially, which is a lot of money to drop on a game. You know, don't get me wrong. I've spent, you know, I originally bought the original Switch. You know, I bought the Switch with Breath of the Wild just so I could play Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
So I dropped £300, whatever it was, on it at the time. which was the console plus the game. And then I bought the Pro Controller not long after that.
Well, that's one thing. Your Pro Controllers will still work with the Switch 2.
Yeah.
They won't have the new fancy C button for chat.
Yeah.
The new ones do, but they at least will work.
Yeah. I mean, I'll probably end up buying... I mean, I had my Pro Controller for quite a while. I will probably end up buying a Switch 2 Pro Controller just so I've got another...
I probably will do too, but it's at least good to know that your old ones won't need to be sold or gotten rid of or anything because they'll still be usable.
What I found interesting is in the Direct was this is a completely built from the ground up new console. So it's not like they've taken stuff from the Switch 1 and put it into the Switch 2.
Yeah.
It's a completely rebuilt console, which I found quite, I mean, obviously, you know, console generations are pretty much that. But, you know, they're traditionally Nintendo have always had some kind of holdover from the previous systems, like the Wii to the Wii U, for example. But this one, I mean, I'm very thankful the Joy-Cons are magnetic. I think that's a good touch. I'm still not convinced about the mouse usage of them.
Apparently supposed to be really good for Metroid Prime 4.
Yeah, I reserve judgment until I'm playing.
Please try it.
I mean, it's definitely quite a good idea, but you know, having those as a substitute for a mouse, I'm not sure how it's going to work. But we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm interested to see how that will work. It does play the question though: what do we do with my original Switch? You know, because
We touched on a bit last week, didn't we? You can give it to your family member, or you can give it to a friend, or you can get rid of it to CEX and see if you can get any. I mean, I don't if they'll give you actual money for it. If they do, it probably won't be an awful lot.
Won't be a lot. I mean, I did put a screen protector on my Switch. There's probably screen protectors available for Switch 2 already, I would say.
Yeah.
Especially with it being a bigger screen, I probably would put a screen protector on it because
that's something I forgot to mention in my list.
It's
got a bigger screen than Switch 1.
Yeah. And it's a 7.9 inch screen, isn't it?
Yeah, it's almost 8 inches. Yeah.
Yeah, which is pretty good. So yeah, definitely looking forward to getting one in front of us and starting to play it and see how it goes.
Yes, I have got the day off, so roll on June 5th.
I haven't booked the day off yet. I've got the day that it's going to be delivered. I'm going to see if I can book the day off or at least work from home that day.
Yeah,
well, we'll see. I have to try and convince my manager.
The one thing I've not mentioned, so we've got this far in the talk yet, is that we're doing GameCube games.
Yeah,
added to NSO on day one for the Switch 2, exclusively for the Switch 2, not for the Switch 1.
Yeah, I'm guessing the original Switch hardware just can't run those games.
Possibly not, no. And the three games that have been announced for day one for the GameCube app are Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, Soul Calibur 2, which is the one that includes Link from Zelda, and F-Zero GX.
Yeah, wow, F-Zero GX. That should be fun.
So I was very pleased to see that coming back, especially as the NSO apps tend to have online play. It doesn't tend to be with randoms, though. It only seems to be with people on your friend list.
Okay. So
if I do want to play that online, I'll have to convince some people to play it with me. But at least it will be available in HD and playable again in 2025, which... considering they don't seem interested in doing a full remaster or a sequel, that's probably not the best I can expect at the moment.
Absolutely. And did you see they're also releasing a GameCube controller as well?
They are. Have you seen how much they are?
I haven't.
£75. Bloody hell. Like, I want one, but do I £75 want one?
I mean, it does look really good, and it's wireless as well, obviously. So, and it'd be really cool to use that on the GameCube compatible games, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, it's got the C button added in as well. I think if it's the same sort of deal as previous ones, you can only buy two per family account.
Right.
So, if I am going to order two, I'll be obviously one for myself, but then I have to open it up to the. I think we've only got six people at the moment. We haven't got the full seven with me because it should be eight of us.
Yeah.
So I'll have to open it up to everyone else and see who wants it on a first-come, first-buy sort of deal.
Absolutely. Be interesting. If they can do GameCube games, I wonder if they'll be able to put Wii games on there.
I would have thought so.
Yeah,
not announced it yet.
But no, that's got to be coming. It's got to come at some stage.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, the going back to the upgrade things, the Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom upgrades are $9.99 if you buy them separately.
Yeah.
They are both included with your NSO expansion pack membership.
Yeah, cool. That's cool. Because I've got the NSO as well, like you've got it.
Yeah.
I did get that. So I'll be looking at that. I mean,
we've still got a spot open if you want to jump in.
Yeah, I might do.
Money next time.
So yeah, I might take you up on the spot in the NSO.
Well, I think it's literally like a few days after you renewed last time, and it should work out about £7.50 each a year.
Yeah, it's pretty decent.
You save a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did no one else has jumped in? So if you want the spot when it comes to the time in October, mate, it's yours.
Yeah, cool. Cool. You have to remind me close to the time.
I will.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. What else is going on with Nintendo Switch 2? So there's a new Kirby Air Riders.
Right, yes. This is a sequel to the GameCube game.
Yes. Which was Kirby Air Ride, wasn't it?
Yes, Kirby Air Ride.
Right.
And I didn't realize it was a Sakurai game for the first one, but Sakurai is definitely working on this one.
Right.
And the first one on GameCube, it wound me up a bit because it's one of the very few GameCube games that's got online support.
Ah.
But I don't know if the second one's going to be the same, but the first one has got no accelerate button.
Oh, okay. On
the outside of like a, almost like a rail, like a tube type thing.
Yeah.
And you can move around it, but your character just accelerates by himself.
Interesting.
So I just remember back in the day, I was thinking like, how come that game gets online, but F-Zero GX didn't? There's so many other games that could have got online that would have been amazing.
I know. I guess it depends whether they make their choices on what they think will sell as an online service kind of thing, you know.
I don't think the original game did that well.
Mm. Well, the other game, it's not exclusive to Switch 2. I think it's going to be a Switch 1 and 2 game, is the new Professor Layton game.
Right.
Which is Professor Layton and the new World of Steam, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where it's set in the timeline, but Luke, who's his little assistant, is still there. And I did enjoy all the Professor Layton games on DS and 3DS.
Right.
There was another game that came out with Professor Layton's daughter, which I've never played, which I think is on Switch. And I haven't actually played that one. I think about it. This is actually him though, so I'm looking forward to that one. But it's not exclusive to Switch 2. Other games that are coming to Switch 2 are games that we've both already played, like Elden Ring, for example.
Yeah. So Elden Ring Tarnished Edition, is that a launch game?
I'm not sure. I can't remember.
I think it might be. We need to look into that. See if it is going to be day one.
Yeah.
Because I'll talk with Kyle about, you know, would you buy it and play it again? And I've finished Elden Ring multiple times already.
I mean, I've finished it 3 times.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So I don't know if it depends, especially if it's an 80 quid game, I'm not buying it again.
No. Yeah. I mean, it's like Cyberpunk 2077 is coming to it.
So that includes the DLC.
Yeah.
And that is one of these, it's the 64 gig cartridge.
Yeah.
They've managed to get the whole game and the DLC to fit on the 64 gig cartridge.
Pretty impressive.
And it's also apparently only been worked on, they've done it in the space of 7 weeks.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I think they put so much development time into that game after it released.
I think it also sort of shows how easy to develop for the Switch 2 is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yes, what else is coming? Oh, we haven't mentioned the Duskbloods, have we?
No, not yet. So this from the trailer, it looks like a spiritual successor to Bloodborne. And the internet went absolutely mental about this game.
Yeah, it did kind of explode, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it's not necessarily an exact spiritual successor to Bloodborne because it's a PvPvE game.
Yeah.
So you've got like you team up and play against other teams, but also then play against the computer.
Yeah.
But Miyazaki has come out and said that he doesn't really like PvP games himself. and he wants to make sure the game is still satisfying.
Yes.
The non-PvP people like him.
Right, okay, cool.
So, interesting. I mean, it'll probably be something along the lines of Night Rain.
Right, okay.
Which is, of course, out next month.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not long now. I mean, it'd be a similar kind of game. And also, we didn't hear any rumours about this game at all. It literally just dropped in the direct. And we were like...
One of my friends spoiled it, unfortunately, because I was behind. Because I was trying to watch it still, but on the train. And of course, the signal wasn't great. So he messaged me about it, and I was like, what?
What are you talking about? Yeah.
It's a shame.
But I'd be interested to see what it's like. I probably will end up getting it, I think.
Probably.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, would have thought Kyle would want to play it as well. So
yeah, that should be a good one to play on Switch together. You know, it's an exclusive to Switch, or at least it is at the moment.
There's not been anything mentioned about whether it's a timed exclusive or anything, so it could just literally be only on the Switch 2.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting game for a Nintendo system.
Yeah.
Definitely. But those were the main ones, I think, that kind of wowed us. Other games that are coming are Hollow Knight Silksong, which I've tried playing the original Hollow Knight. I didn't get on with it, unfortunately. I may give it another try.
Mm-hmm.
Upgraded versions of Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild, which we've already said. Final Fantasy VII Remake and Rebirth, both coming to Switch.
Right, but hang on. You're more the Final Fantasy guy than me, but Final Fantasy VII Retro, whatever it's called, is it Retrograde? Is that the thing? Integrade.
Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrade, yes.
Right.
So all the DLC and the spin-off with, can't remember her name off the top of her head, one of the female characters.
Right, so that's the PS5 version of Part 1, because it's been split into three games now, right?
It has been split into three games, yeah. You got Remake, you got the Integrade, which is like an addition to Remake. And then you got Rebirth, which came out last year.
Yeah, so I think Remake / Integrate is first.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if Rebirth is coming out later.
I believe it's coming out later.
Right, okay.
I believe it is, yes. Mm. As for the third game, I mean, they haven't even announced when it's coming to, if it's going to come to PS5 or Xbox Series.
It might be
PS6 at this point, who knows?
Well, yeah, quite possibly. Borderlands 4 was another one that was announced for Switch 2.
Yeah. I don't think I'll be playing Borderlands 4. I didn't enjoy Borderlands 3 very much. I really liked the first two games, but I did not enjoy Borderlands 3. I got about halfway through it and I was ready to throw in the towel, and I just gritted my teeth and got through to the end of the game, and I've never played it again since. So
I played 3 with friends. I don't think I would play it by myself.
No. Now, the actual remastered version of Borderlands, the first game, is actually pretty good.
Yeah?
It came out on PS4 and I played it on the PS5. And Borderlands 2 is a pretty good game.
Yeah, I've played a little bit of that.
Yeah, Borderlands 2 is probably the best one out of a lot of them, I think.
Right.
But yeah, that's interesting that it's coming to Switch 2.
Yeah, Star Wars Outlaws, which of course is Ubisoft. That got announced.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one, yeah.
Street Fighter 6 is a launch game.
Yep.
I've already got it on PS5, so doubt I'll buy it again. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4 remaster was also announced for Switch 2.
Yes.
Yakuza 0 Director's Cut?
Yeah, see, I want to play Yakuza 0, but I don't want to play it on the Switch. I want to play it on the PS4 or 5. So, I don't know. They have said that's coming to other consoles as well.
Right.
So okay. I might wait. I've been waiting to play Yakuza 0 for ages.
Right. Yooka Replay-Lee, which is like the remaster of Yooka-Laylee. I think that's coming to Switch 2 as well.
Yeah.
What was the one that should be a pack-in game, but it's not? You have to pay for it.
Welcome Tour.
That's it, yeah. So I don't understand why they've not made this as a pack-in game. Like,
I believe that the explanation of the game was because of the time and effort that went into it, they feel like that people should pay for it, which seems a bit short-sighted to me. I mean,
you know, it teaches you about the features of your system.
Yeah, like, isn't it $10?
Something like that. I would have thought you would just pack it in with the Switch 2, you know, and people will look at it once and then probably never look at it again. Why are you charging $10 for that?
I mean, so Reginald Fils-Aimé, who was the Nintendo of America president for a very long time, has written his autobiography, which I've not got around to reading.
Yep. But
one thing he touches on in that is apparently Nintendo didn't want to give Wii Sports away with Wii.
Really?
Yeah. And so in Japan, they sold the Wii as a console, standalone console, and sold Wii Sports separately.
Really? Wow.
And he basically talked them into, we need Wii Sports to be a pack-in game.
Yeah.
If you do this, the Wii is going to be a smash hit. If you don't, I don't know how it's going to turn out. Yeah. And so they listened to him and made it a pack-in game, and it sold 100 million consoles.
Yes. It's one of the most successful Nintendo consoles ever, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if he was still in charge, I would wonder whether he would have talked them into making this a pack-in.
Yeah.
But of course, he's not there anymore. It's Doug Bowser, is Nintendo America president these days.
Yep. Yep. I mean, given the development cycle that's gone into the console and the game, I can kind of understand it from a business perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But from a launch console perspective, it should be a pack-in.
I mean, Astrobot was with the PS5.
Yes. And that was a good little pack-in game that I actually really enjoyed playing that game.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good show off for the features for the PS5. Absolutely. I can't say I played it for more than about half an hour. And apparently the newer one they've released more recently is a better game.
Well, it won a few BAFTAs at the BAFTA Game Awards two nights ago, I think it was.
Yeah.
It's a very good game. You know, and the packing game, it's got a platinum, so of course I got it.
Right.
You know, it is a real good little game, and it's like say it shows off the features of the system, and it was free. So you can't, you know, I don't know. There's obviously some thinking that they must have been wrangling with it and they decided to charge for it to try and get some of those development costs back.
Mm.
But it does seem a bit, you know, this is our system and you're going to look at it once and you probably never look at it again.
Well, exactly. So I'm not sure if I'm going to buy it or not, but we'll see.
No.
Bravely Default Flying Fairy HD Remaster is again not really aimed at me. It's a turn-based game.
Yeah, no, not one for you, I don't think, is it, that one?
But I know Matt likes it, it's turn-based. Drag X Drive is a strange one.
Mm-hmm.
This is the wheelchair basketball.
Oh, yes, this is one where you like
use the motion
controls. Yes, yes, yeah.
That'd be interesting, but again, I'm not sure I'd drop 65 quid on it.
Yes.
Fast Fusion is it's from Shinen Multimedia. It's the people that did Fast Racing Neo on the Wii U.
Okay.
And then Fast RMX on the Switch 1. It's basically F-Zero in everything but name.
Right.
So if F-Zero GX wasn't on the GameCube app on day one, then I might potentially look at that. But when Nintendo announced that it was, I bet Shinen were thinking, God damn it, they go our sales.
Yeah. Oh, Luigi's Mansion's coming to GameCube.
It is. It's not day one, but it's one of the first batch of games that they announced.
Yeah, which is cool. So I might give that a go. Poor Luigi's Mansion 2 has not got a look in since I've had Assassin's Creed Shadows. I'm not going back.
Hogwarts Legacy, which, as we talked about before, is best-selling game of 2023.
Yeah.
That's getting a port Switch 2, and has already sold, what is it, 34 million. I don't know how many sales will add to that. 34 million they've already done.
If your Nintendo Switch is your only console, then it probably will sell quite a lot more, you know. I can see why a lot of these games are coming to Switch 2. It definitely makes sense. With the portability and having a full HD screen on the device as well, it's, you know, it's a no-brainer, really. I wonder if the Twin Snakes is going to come to the GameCube online, Nintendo Switch online.
Oh, that'd be cool, but be surprised. I don't know what sort of licensing that game's got, because it was Silicon Knights that made it for Konami. So I wonder if it's like all tied up in all sorts of licensing.
Yeah, maybe. I'd like to see it though.
Hyrule Warriors: Age of Imprisonment.
So this is a prequel, or well, I say prequel to Tears of the Kingdom. It's basically in the early hours of Tears of the Kingdom, Zelda gets zapped back in time, like 1,000 years in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And this is her story for when that happens.
Right.
So
it's still a, what do they call these games? Like Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah, kind of the...
is it Mutsu?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a Mutsu game, and yeah. I've played them a bit, but you kind of, like, just absolutely destroy all of the stand enemies, even though there's thousands of them, you just annihilate them.
Yeah.
And the only real challenge comes when you get to a boss.
Yeah, exactly. I've not played any of the Hyrule Warriors games, so I doubt I'll be playing this one. I'd be interested to see the story parts of it, but the actual gameplay and game itself, no, I'm not that bothered about it.
No. Kenitsugami Path of the Goddess by Capcom. That's another one that got announced. That's already on Game Pass. It's got like I think Brad was playing it on the podcast.
Yes.
It's got like some sort of strategy element or something, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Again, not really sure how much of it's my kind of thing. Marvel Cosmic Invasion, was that like a beat 'em up?
I think it's a beat 'em up, yeah. Mm. Sounds right. I mean, given the caliber of games that are coming out, you know, launch titles or launch window titles, does make you wonder what Nintendo have got, you know, planned for the first couple of years of the life cycle. What we're going to see? Are we going to see a new 3D Mario? Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
What's it going to be like? You know, are we going to see, you know, we're going to see Metroid Prime 4 Beyond? Are we going to see another Metroid Prime? Are we going to see a remaster of 2 and 3, maybe? You never know.
Possibly. I mean, I'll be very surprised if they're doing another Metroid Prime after 4 anytime soon, considering how long it's taken them to make 4. Oh,
so long.
But maybe remasters of 2 and 3, like you say. Split Fiction. That was announced.
Yes, that's a relatively new one, wasn't it? That's coming as well, yeah. That'd be interesting, yeah.
Story of Seasons, that's what Harvest Moon became.
Yeah.
Mario Party Jamboree, that's a Switch 1 game, like Switch 2 edition, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was a Tamagotchi game.
Tamagotchi.
Yeah. Wild Hearts, which is EA's Monster Hunter clone that they dropped support for on the other platforms like pretty early on. Like it got to like 3 months old before they announced that they weren't supporting anymore.
Yeah. I was listening to another podcast and they were talking about the Monster Hunter Wilds.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Switch 2 has been released. Would we expect to see Monster Hunter Wilds on the Switch 2?
I hope so, but...
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't announced, so I guess we'll have to wait and see. If it gets announced, I'll probably end up playing it again on there.
Although, having said that, there isn't a PS4 version of Monster Hunter Wilds, is there?
No, it's true. Well, whether we could get it running or not, but yeah.
You probably could get a version running on it, I think. I don't know.
I mean, they tend to have... So we've talked about the A and the B team before. So the A team did Monster Hunter Worlds and then more recently Monster Hunter Wilds. The B team, so to speak, who tend to do the portable games, did Monster Hunter Rise, which started out on the Switch and then eventually ended up on everything else.
Yep.
So I wonder what the B team are making, whether the B team are working on a Monster Hunter game for Switch 2.
It could be an exclusive Monster Hunter game for Switch 2. Yeah, it could be. You'd be right about that. That'd be interesting. A lot of people would be interested in that, wouldn't they?
Yeah. I think Wilds has got to like 10 million sales now.
Right.
Which is impressive until you think more about the fact that it did 8 million in 3 days and then in like the month since he's up to 10 million, so there's only like 2 million more.
Yeah, it's kind of got loads and it's kind of plateaued a little bit.
Yeah,
it's kind of just typical for these kinds of games. But I mean, 10 million is still a huge amount to sell in, you know, a month, so just over a month, isn't it? Excuse me, but yeah.
I think the accessories in general are quite expensive.
Yes, I mean, we already said the GameCube controller is £75.
Yeah, I haven't checked into the Pro Pad. Is that about the same price, you know?
It wouldn't surprise me if it was the same. I don't know how much the camera is either.
The camera's 50.
Camera's 50, is it? Okay. Yeah, and what about a pair of Joy-Cons for it?
I haven't looked that up yet either, but they're 75 on the Switch 1.
Yeah.
So are probably going to be about the same.
There's more tech in them because they're magnetic, aren't they?
Yeah, I got the orange and purple pair, even though I didn't really like the colours that much, just because they were 60, fine, yeah. It saved me a tenner.
But I haven't seen any colour skews of the Switch 2, actually. I've just seen...
No, it's just standard, isn't it?
Standard, isn't it?
But the purple and orange ones are drifting now, as of last week while I was away.
Yeah.
I was glad I had my Pro Pad with me. I was like, well, at least I can keep playing without having to worry about drift. But I think... I'm trying to think how many pairs of Joy-Cons I've had drift now. It's like 2 or 3.
I know. And the PS5 controller suffers from it as well. Like my one that conked out on me had stick drift on it.
Yeah, I think the Xbox does as well. I think
they all do. I don't know why. It must just be the tech inside. They just decalibrate themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got anything else on Switch 2 that you want to talk about?
I'm just trying to think. So we've covered the game chat.
Yeah.
Got GameCube on SO. We've talked about the launch titles.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the price we should probably talk a bit about that. So it's $395 in the UK.
Yep.
And $430 with Mario Kart World.
With the pack in, yeah.
Yeah. And the Americans were getting angry about the fact that it was $450.
Yes.
Which, if it was Sony, they would have announced at $450 over there and £450 over here. Like they did with the PS5 Pro.
Yeah.
But thankfully, Nintendo saw sense and realized that our currency is worth a bit more than the dollar, so we're getting slightly better prices. I think people in general are upset about the price, expecting it to be less.
Yeah. You've got to think about a couple of things. You've got to think about the tech that's gone into it.
Yeah.
You know, especially with the larger screen running at full HD.
Yeah.
The dock that's got a cooler in it, I believe.
It has got a fan, yeah.
Yeah, and also outputting 4K at 120 hertz for some titles.
Yeah.
Or 60 for most. You've got to take that into consideration. Things aren't as cheap as they were. I mean,
inflation. Apparently, if you factor in inflation, the Switch 2 is £50 more expensive than the Switch 1 was at the time.
Exactly. There you go. I mean, since the Switch 1 came out, we've had a global pandemic, you know, which has pushed prices up. And obviously, what's going on in America in regards to tariffs has also rocked the boat a bit. And the global economy in general, is things are more expensive than they were.
I've actually got a little list here. If you want to hear every console, how much it was at the time and how much it would be now, just for inflation. But it's in dollars, unfortunately, instead of in pounds.
These are Nintendo consoles.
Yeah, so the NES, $179, which adjusted for inflation is $523.
Okay.
SNES, $199, adjusted is $460. N64, $199, so same price as previous generation. And again, that's $400 when just it for inflation.
Mm-hmm.
GameCube, $199. So they did three generations in a row at the same price. Adjusted for inflation, that's $359.
Yep.
The Wii was $249. Of course, it was £180 over here, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And adjusted for inflation, that's $394. The Wii U was $299, and adjusted for inflation, it's $415. And the Switch was $299, which adjusted is $387, and then the Switch 2 is $450.
Yeah.
So when you think about it, comparatively, the Switch 2 is pretty decently priced, really, compared to everything else.
I'd say, I mean, when I saw the price of $395, my guess, I think we did it a few episodes back, my guess was $400, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's what we both said.
Mm-hmm.
So we were about right. So our expectations were met.
Yeah.
But you know, some people were expecting a Switch 2 to come out with £300. That wasn't gonna happen.
It's not realistic. Like the whole thing was people like, we want a more powerful Switch. They've given us that, but then you have to factor in that you have to be able to pay for that as well.
Absolutely. Don't forget the tech that's in it is massively different to the Switch. It's got magnetic Joy-Cons for one.
Yeah.
It's a bigger screen, but it's the same thickness as a Switch one. So just
apparently it is a little bit heavier. You were asking about that. Someone got a hand on it, said it's a bit heavier.
I thought it would be. I thought it would be. I'm not surprised by that. But
also with worse battery life, apparently, than the Switch
One. Yeah, we know that. I mean, it's got a big screen. It's got a 7.9-inch screen. It ain't going to last long. Yeah. But, you know, it's the same thickness as the Switch One. So to pack in so much tech, okay, fair enough. The Switch One tech was a bit outdated even when it was launched.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is massively leaps and bounds on from what it was. Mm-hmm. But I think it's not overpriced, I would say.
No, I think they've done well. Mm. I mean, the accessories and the games, that's a whole other matter, but the actual console itself is what very well priced.
Mm. It's the games. Are the games going to be $80/£80? That seems like a high price, but it may. I mean, you know, Nintendo games, they, you know, their first party lines, they don't, their value doesn't go down a lot.
That's just the problem here. They don't go down. So the Xenoblade games, I've got 2, 3, and X on physical. I've got Xenoblade 1 digital. So I had a look recently about how much it would be to pick up the cartridge for one. So I've got them all physical then. And it's still like £50.
Still?
Yeah, even though it's like 3.5 years old.
Wow. It's crazy.
Mm.
Crazy. It's like Metroid Prime Remastered. I know it came out 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I managed to get it for £27, but it's quite easily, most places, it's £33 or more.
Right.
You know, and I think it was came out at like £40. So it has gone down a bit.
I paid £30 for the download.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if the physical was more expensive.
It might be. I'm not sure. So it might be physical... That was a remaster, not like a brand new game.
Hmm.
I mean, I got the digital version of Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
And that was £50.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Wait and watch this space. We'll probably be talking about Switch 2 more, no doubt.
Yes. I mean, it's 2 months away.
Yeah. Not long away at all.
No.
Less than 2 months now, actually.
Yes.
But yeah, once we get it in our hands, then we'll no doubt give our opinions on it, on the hardware, you know, and compare notes on the games and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings us to the end of episode 12, I think.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, if you have been doing. The socials, you can get us at 2guys3consoles on Instagram. It's the same on YouTube as well, audio only. We have a Facebook group, which is just 2guys3consoles again. You can email us at 2guys3consoles or letters, no numbers, at yahoomail.com. You can also get us on Blue Sky at 2guys3consoles. And we do have a Discord as well. Discord chat.
Yeah. If you would like to. I've got one thing I should have mentioned. We got another email from Matt.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I forgot about the email. Yeah. Apologies.
So I'm just, unless you want to read it, I was going to read it out.
No, you go and read it out. Yeah.
So he's, I'm still loving the podcast, boys. Keep the good work. J Monster is correct. I do absolutely love the TIE Fighter series. TIE Fighter was probably my favorite. The whole game was awesome. The Grand Admiral Thrawn storyline was amazing. And you got to play a new ship. Called, I think it was called a missile boat. These things were stunning. You had 30 advanced proton torpedoes, 30 advanced concussion missiles, and a tractor beam on them. Talk about becoming a badass. You can blow up everything, couple of sheesh, but I wish they would remaster that game. Jedi hugs to both of you, and indeed all of your listeners, Matt with 1T.
Nice. Yeah. So you said it was into the TIE Fighter game, so yeah.
Yeah, so I think he did start writing us another email at one point, but it was becoming a bit of an essay. And he got like halfway through it and sent half through, but never got around to sending the other half. So I think he just gave up on that massive email and sent a new one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so thanks, Matt, for sending that in.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. So my Instagram is mleach26, and you can get me at mattleach1 on Blue Sky.
Yeah. I am J_Monster on Instagram and JMonster without the underscore on Blue Sky.
Excellent. So that's it for episode 12. Thank you. And we will see you on the next episode.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.